Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 758. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Greetings from hell.
That's rough. Wow. Jeff is here too. We'll have to recircle to the hell part. Jeff is here.
Those Democrat run cities, you know.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, I think that's the problem, is that who's running the city is making it kind of unbearable right now.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Is that what you're referring to in all this?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it really like a crazy presence there?
So I am actually stuck at home because my office is shut down because they have this stupid race. And building.
IndyCar, but yeah.
IndyCar. And it's like, it's right downtown. And my office is on the course. So like, they're busy erecting like concrete barriers all around it. And like,
stands
and all this crap. So my office is closed. We're in week two of 3 weeks in a row where we are all working from home. Because we can't go to the office.
The race is this weekend?
It's this weekend.
Yeah. Well, in a week, you'll be able to move around the city, I guess.
Sure. Well, the problem is like, they're literally like building, like normally when we have events downtown, like they're like bringing in stuff and then they just bring it away. But they're like building structures and crap. And so it's going to take them a week to take everything away. So we just have to wait until that happens.
Is this the end of the?
This is the finale.
Okay.
Thank God. They're like shutting down the airport. My girlfriend on the day of the race was supposed to fly to a conference. She is now flying the day before because there are no flights for like a 4-hour stretch. They canceled everything.
Cool.
Because there's like 11 billion flyovers again.
Of course there are. Yeah, because, you know, we gotta make all the big noise for the big toddler. Well, I'm sorry for all of that. I was just down in I guess not really DC, but drove through it. I went to the MGM National Harbor.
Yeah.
The casino there. I went to a show there. It's a nice casino.
They have the nicest poker room I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And I've been to a lot of poker rooms. It's like, it's 50 tables. It's like its own dedicated floor with like its own dedicated bar and kitchen. Like, you never see this in poker rooms. They're always like in a random spot in the casino.
Yeah.
But it's like got all these TVs and there's like always space. It's the nicest poker room in the country.
Nice. nice looking casino. It was a nightmare getting out of. I think they, because we left the concert and the staff just kind of had us driving in circles for a while, and I flipped out. Like, I was just yelling, I just want to fucking leave. Like, let me out of here. The guy was like, just do it one more loop and we'll let your group out. I'm like, thank you. It's a nightmare. yeah, so Tony's in hell, stuck in his house for almost a whole month, the whole month of August. Have you been playing anything, Tony?
I've been playing many things. I think the thing I played most this week was Pal World 1.0.
Okay, that's the Pokemon with guns.
Pokemon with guns. So I played it at launch. The game hasn't fundamentally changed since then. It's much closer to survival, like building exploration type game, than to Pokemon. You do go out and you catch creatures, but that's pretty much all it has in common. It's mostly like building stuff to unlock new technologies so that you could build more stuff. There is a story, sort of. The missions are really far, they're like 10 levels apart, which means that there's a long time between the story missions, and everything is told in like dialogue text, and there's not a whole lot of it. So like, if you're looking like, oh, I'll try this and like get a nice, the story that they finally promised they'd add to the game, it's there. It's not really.
It's not the draw.
No, the draw is like, I'm enjoying building my base and learning about these pals and using them in creative ways. I mean, the combat is fine. One of the things I remember from playing initially is they were always, you'd always get these raids attacking your base. And they still have that, but they've made the raids farther apart and they are so puny. And like, as you build up your base, you end up with all these high level pals, the raid just your base and it basically explodes. Cause like every pal in your base is like, oh, something to kill. And like they all like fire their powers at this stuff at once and just blows up. It's hard for me as like the player to get a shot in at the enemies because they're dying so fast. it's just funny to watch.
So you collect like you collect the monsters to help staff your base. And
you have a team of like five of them, and you use them to like move around the world. Some of them are kind of cool. Some of them can fly, so you can ride the flying one. Some of them are really good at swimming. There's a spider you can ride and like have it like shoot out web and like pull you along.
That's kind of cool. Like
your spider pal. That's fun. There are like boss battles, which I think were in Pal World before. They're probably the most interesting battles. Like, you'll face off against someone riding a pal, and the pal will be huge, and you'll have to use like your entire team to fight this guy. It's the only time where I actually feel challenged by the gameplay. There is a lot of level gating in the world. Like there are points where you're like, oh, everything in this area is level 50, and I'm only level 40, so I better leave here. It's not like, I don't know, like Assassin's Creed, where it's like on the map, you're like, oh, I'm in too high level area, I should not be here. You get to find out the hard way.
Like, this guy's kicking my ass.
Yes, I tried to catch that pal, and I can't, because none of my, I forget what they called the little Pokeball things, but none of mine are strong enough to actually catch that. It's a shame. I don't know, it's a fun game.
Still on Game Pass?
I believe it's still on Game Pass, yes. Okay. Nice. I've been playing on Steam. My son has been playing a ton of it on Game Pass, so he is much farther than I. He actually started a new game. He went all the way through it and started over. They've added a lot to it. The world is a lot bigger. There are a lot of places to go. There's now reserves where humans aren't supposed to go. Where you can go and catch unique pals that you can only find in that particular reserve. But the reserves are patrolled by these drones. And if one of them spots you, it like chases you and you know, kills you dead. And it's got like more hit points than you can possibly ever hope to defeat.
So you have to be a little stealthy in these.
You have to sneak in and sneak out. I did not know that the first time. My son is watching me do this. I'm going on to the reserve. He doesn't say anything. I go in and I catch, like, there's a boss level pal, and I catch the boss level pal, and I catch a few other pals, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm going back to my base. My inventory is full. It's time to go back. And as I'm leaving, the drone spots me. And my son is like, oh, you're dead. Great. Thanks for warning me.
Thanks. You did this before, didn't you?
The funny part was, though, I wasn't dead because I was already on my way out of the base. So I just ran away bravely.
Oh, so it won't like track you all the way back down to...
It tracked me for a while, but I was on one of my fastest pals. I was really hard to catch at that point.
Nice.
But if I had actually, if it had caught me like while it was on the ground, I'd have been meat. Like the thing was like shooting at me, and like I look back and I have like 1,200 hit points, and the thing has like 90,000 hit points. And I'm like, if this thing actually hits me, I'm probably instantly dead too. So
yeah,
like zigzagging in the water, getting away.
That sounds fun.
That was fun.
Glad you're enjoying that. Earl has joined us.
Howdy ho, neighborinos. How's it going?
Good.
Or maybe not.
Well, I mean, Tony's in hell, so you missed that.
I mean, DC, I mean, what can you say?
Yeah. When Jeff's not back yet, so we could talk some Splatoon when he comes back. But Tony, have you played anything else?
Yeah. So earlier this year, there's this game I played a ton of. Not this year, but in previous years, called Battle Brothers, where you're heading like up this mercenary company.
Mm-hmm.
And the company that makes Battle Brothers released a new game in February called Menace. It's still in early access, but the game at this point is like really coming together. So I started playing that yesterday. And it's super fun. So you're playing as you're actually supposed to be like, you're on this giant ship that has been requested by this local militia commander in like some far off star system to come in and assist him. Mm-hmm. And as the ship comes along, it goes, like it gets badly damaged in some sort of space accident. And the general in charge is killed, and most of the people on board are dead. And you're left. You're like this major. You're the only officer who survived. And you have to guide the survivors in the mission. And it's like these XCOM style battles where you're like moving from planet to planet and executing these missions. To try to like help out this local warrior lord and negotiate with like the local peoples in the star system to like build your strength back up. The units are like, it's a squad leader who has like a ton of personality. There's like, it's all looking for. There's like a black dude who's always saying, like talking about the club and talking about drugs. Like everybody is a stereotype. And there's all these stereotype characters in charge of each one of your squads.
Those are the main characters. Like
those are the main characters. But the interesting thing is you build up the squad around those guys. They're not nameless. They all have names, but that's about all they have. But they're called squaddies. And so you have your squad, and then you add squaddies to the squad as you build up strength. So you have like a guy, and he might have 8 squaddies. And you can add equipment to the squad. So maybe you have like a grenade launcher or a mortar or like a rocket propelled grenade or something. And each squad has a certain purpose. There are also like armored units, which don't get squads. It's just like a pilot in a tank or like a mech. The mechs are really cool, and you can customize the weapons. So like I have a mech that like launches a rocket salvo that basically destroys anything that it touches. But it takes forever to reload, and the mech is always standing at the back waiting to fire off its giant salvo of rockets. Mm-hmm. And it's got that whole, building up guys with experience hoping they don't die. Like, it's got that whole XCOM-y thing to it. And the combat is very similar to XCOM, except, again, you're moving around squads and not individuals. And the enemies are, like, they're groups of pirates or, like, space aliens. Or the militia commander you've come in to help is having his own little civil war. And so you end up fighting against the people who are fighting him. And there's a bunch of other factions. I haven't gone through it all, but those are the ones that I've faced off with so far.
Nice. I'm looking at the screenshots on Steam. And yeah, the characters, I guess, that for these people who run your squads, they very stereotypical.
Yes.
Visually, like the one guy looks like Barrett from Final Fantasy VII. There's an Asian guy who's very much a like very stoic and
yes. There's the Clint Eastwood old man military non-com guy. Like there's you can say like, oh, I this guy is from this movie, it's this character for all of them.
Yeah, I could see that where you'd be like, okay, yep, this personality is aligning, that they took inspiration from this, and
they all have catchphrases, and they the game's in early access, God bless it. They repeat these catchphrases a lot.
Oh.
Get sick of them after a while.
What are the catchphrases?
I'm trying not to like. What are they? I heard so many today that I'm trying to like blot them out of my brain. It's like my brain is partially melted. I don't. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any now. But
all right. Well, yeah. And that's in early access.
In early access.
In
one of the cool things about it, you go on operate. So you don't pick one mission. You go on an operation, which ends up being a series of missions with like branching paths that affect what happens in the other missions. Or give you rewards in other missions based on how well you do.
That's a cool idea.
And at the end of the operation, you get like a star grade, which causes your the way your troops think of you to either go up or go down. If it goes up high enough, that's great, and you can actually use your clout to get more squads. Like you can recruit more people to come to your group.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes down far enough, you actually can lose the game. If it goes below a certain threshold, you're out.
They relieve you of command.
Yep.
You watch it come to an end.
neat idea.
Yeah.
Be interested to see how it plays out once it comes out of early access. But it sounds like it's a fully fleshed out thing right now. So,
oh yeah, no, there's a real campaign you can play through right now and it's enjoyable.
Cool. Earl, Jeff, Splatoon. Jeff has played all of it. He is level 67 now.
Not 69.
No, he needs to level up a little bit more for that.
Well, okay, just so I'm clear, because you don't level up past 50, actually, right?
Yeah, you're not.
Your weapons do, but you don't.
You do. Like, if you're 50 plus one, it means you're level 50, plus but you one. Got plus two damage and plus two defense. So you are like, you will gain that forever. Like,
okay,
you can get like level 50 plus 999, as far as I know. So, but again, it's just very incremental after 50.
Yeah, after 50. Because yes, I beat the game and I've continued onward since I beat the game, but I thought a lot of it was, you now get what they call primo weapons, which are the 5-star weapons.
Yeah, there's that too.
You can level up beyond a certain point, and then you can add attributes and stats from other weapons to that. So that's where I was on that. But yes, I think I think it's a phenomenal game. I think it's a fantastic experience. I think it's one of the few games like I beat and I continued onwards after I completed the game as well. And yeah,
I have no inkling of stopping. No pun intended. And I beat the game like 30 hours ago. You know what I mean? I've played a shit ton of this game.
Yeah.
I have not played a shit ton of it. Jeff knows exactly where I'm at.
Oh, where like, are you?
Nowhere. He's nowhere.
Yeah, I'm like on what, like
the level one. Yeah. He's on the first level of outside of
the
tutorial.
Yeah, like the first big island. And I'm level 6 or 7 right now.
Okay.
So slowly. Also, like I know that you can kind of like approach it from a few levels under, and I was telling this to Jeff, but I was like level 3, and it was like, oh, well, you have this level 8 level or this level 7 level.
I would not.
So so I just started like rerunning some of the ones I already did. And now I leveled up twice tonight, so I could probably do the level 7 one now that I'm at level 6. So
I will say one of the things I learned, which is both cool and kind of annoying, is that you can play online with friends and stuff like that, and they do.
God, I hate friends.
They do make sure that you can. It's like leveled up. Like for example, if I was to play with you, I would get enemies around my level, not enemies around your level.
Yeah. So Jeff and I just played. How was it for you, Jeff? Because didn't feel any different.
It was. I was surprised that I was having any trouble at all.
Yes.
But that makes sense.
Of your level.
That makes sense. I'm like way beyond Chris. For the most part, though, like when you're playing online with people, it feels very challenging for everyone involved, I think.
Okay. Yeah, like I had already played the two levels we ran. I had already played them a few times already. So,
like if I went to go play those levels on the level you're playing them at, like I would just stand there and activate my thing and just like as they came out of the pipe, kill them. Like I would do nothing. I would literally just stand there and kill. Like I tried it.
Yeah, you were having to move around a little bit when.
No, it does a really good job of balancing it as best as you can.
Yeah.
But like at some point, I'm just like, I'm so level up that I should be able to walk in and kill shit, and it's not that way.
And you did get some rewards, right? Like you got some
weapon
or something.
Yeah, and my friends, I find it much easier to get primo weapons when playing with friends than when you play stuff on your level. So I not even with friends. I've been doing like the random like you can just call.
Me too. Yeah.
And I've been getting a lot of primo weapons. It may not be the weapon I want, but again, you can apart for the parts that you need. So
I do help people as well. Although what makes me upset is when I help people. So I go, all right, normally when you're playing the game lives, but like if you are in a multiplayer session, it's like 5 lives, I think usually. And like, so this one that I did, I helped people, I died on it 3 times, man. I felt so bad about it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm gonna fucking, fuck us over. Yeah.
Because the game is it because the game's balancing difficulty towards you for you?
That's why I think it's balancing it towards the host. But at some point it's all gobbledygook. Cause like, if you're like super high level, like what is that? You know,
right.
It's gonna balance it towards you anyway. Like, I don't get how they make that work, but it does work.
Yeah, again, I think it's a lot of times it's based off of like your level, and it will balance it kind of to that point. Because it will tell you like, oh, these enemies are level 46, which a lot of times mean that they're like crust, what is it, salted or crusty or something like that? I forget what they're called exactly.
They're super spicy levels.
Yes, but those are, the levels are different than the actual like enemies, because there are like the
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay. Good game from what I played of it so far. You guys have both beat it and continuing to play.
I think it's my favorite game of the year. Like it scratches the same itch as Diablo, where it's just like I'm seeing number goes up and I can help people because of that. It's just fun. Like I just keep playing it.
And one of the other things that we were talking about when we were playing earlier is that the levels are so short.
Yeah.
Generally, like they're nice and bite-sized. Like that is a thing with Diablo. Is like sometimes a dungeon in that could be like an hour. And these are like, you know,
they're very self-contained. Like it's like here's 3 minutes. Like here's a minute. Or
yeah, I think like the one we did, like, and we 100%ed it because we got all of the 4,400.
Yeah, so
or whatever we needed.
Me and Chris did one that was not timed. So there are like regular levels.
There are missions that are timed. There's forest missions. There's one I don't know how to.
We did one of the ones where you go around and you're trying to fill up to get the big blue crystal, you know?
Yes, okay. So those are pretty
it's
good.
It's not the same.
It's grinding. Yeah.
And like those that's like the level that's taken me the longest. Everything else is like about 5 minutes or so. Like really, really cool. Nice bite-sized experiences. Very stable. Both Jeff and I noticed that when we were playing online. Like
it's crazy how good it like performs.
Yeah, it looked great with both of us playing it. The only thing is, it could have just been my Wi-Fi like kicked out, but I got an error, and it booted both of us out of the room that we were in on the second mission we were playing. But
I've not had that issue yet. But
I always get that. I would get that like when I like resume playing after a while, like. Mm-hmm. Open up my Switch and I'll be like, oh, you disconnected. And it's like, okay, whatever. But it did happen while we were playing.
And I got an actual error message on it popped up on the screen. I think it was probably just my Wi-Fi. I bet if I was playing with it on the TV, it would have been fine because then it's wired in.
You gotta play it some more, man. It's really great. It's
it's fun.
Once you get deeper into it, like just call us in and fucking like we'll go in there like the Avengers. It'll be great.
What are you rocking?
I respect all the tanks, so whatever tank you wanna go for, I get it. But I'm power tank. And then I have the speed tank perk where, like, if you come out of the paint, you run around really fast.
Because
it lays down paint underneath your feet as you're running. I like them all. I think you could build a solid strategy around any tank.
What were you calling your little hurricane thing? That was like
it's circling lights.
Yeah. I think that lights are kind of my go-to.
So if you have the power tank equipped, I think it's the power tank. No, the tactical. If you have the tactical tank equipped, and you go into paint long enough, when you come out, it automatically does like kind of mini splatter lights. So again, and once you level up all three tanks, you could swap these traits between them.
Well, so between two of them.
What's that?
Between two of them, because it's like the power and the speed, like there's two tanks that.
It's still gonna be that tank, but like, yeah, you could like it's like this perk, like a bonus. You get attached to another tank.
At some point, you'll be able to equip three different abilities instead of the two. Yeah.
So I've like Earl, I've done all that. I've done everything. I think I have three skill points I can get left off of doing like those hidden islands. That's it, Earl. Like I have played the fuck out of this game. I could fuck shit up. But at the same time, like, you know, I think I'm level like 50 plus 15, which would be like level 65. And you have level 80 super spicy levels.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I still got a ways to go.
I think if you enjoy the game, like, you'll just get so much playtime out of it. The game, like, really surprised me, man.
It's good. Good Nintendo game. And it was $50, right?
I think. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. So, well-priced game as well. Earl, have you played anything else besides Splatoon?
I think Hyrule Warriors, but I don't think there's not a ton to talk about with that.
Yeah.
It's just, a ton of fun. I was looking at it today. I put in a ton of hours. It's a really good beat 'em up or whatever you want to call it. And then again, as usual, there's a new season at Splatoon that started Fortnite that started, which is video game centric. And I will just say seeing Sonic in like that super long format is just super weird and strange.
I have not seen the Fortnite Sonic yet. Is it
it's just a long Sonic?
No, that's wrong.
Yeah. It's so creepy because it's like adventure, but now he has even more of a even more arms and legs.
No. That's nightmarish. I did see that they added in like the loops and stuff.
Green Forest or
Green Hill Zone.
There we go.
Yeah, but I had not seen the Sonic model in it. I saw like it looked like somebody from Persona or something running around.
Joker from Persona, I think.
Yeah. Cool. Is there any other video game stuff, or is it just like kind of Sonic and Sega?
It's Sonic. It's Pac-Man. It's one of those weird things where it's like, oh, it's video game legends, and then you get that thing of, oh, Nintendo is not part of this, so it is super awkward. It's like Smash Brothers. Again, I think I said it on Blue Sky. It just gave me a fondness for Smash Brothers. Because you realize, like, there's an effort made to make all the characters look like they belong in the same game that is not easy to do. Mm-hmm. And not everybody tries it, because Fortnite, everybody has to fit the same Fortnite mode, where Smash Brothers is like, we don't care.
We'll you get like little like Nez guy, and then like Solid Snake, and they'll have different proportions, and but they'll look like they belong on the same map. Where this sounds weird because they've made Sonic weird. I think I will jump in, at least check out what the map looks like though, to get a look at it. Earlier this year, and Jeff didn't like it, but Star Fox came out for the fourth time or something like that. There's been a game that's come out on PC. I kind of felt like I wanted more Star Fox. It's called Wild Blue Skies. And it is, it's Star Fox, but not
15 yeah. bucks and better.
It's 15 bucks. I don't know if it's better.
Imagine that.
Yeah. It's, but for $15, I was willing to dump into it and give it a go. I actually bought it right alongside Agent 64, which I talked about a couple weeks back, which is like the GoldenEye-ish type game. So there's indie guys out there making, like they've taken their favorite like N64 games and are redoing them. Wild Blue Skies, though, is very pretty looking. Like they have a nice like Sunday morning or Saturday morning cartoon kind of like look to the characters and the ships, where Agent 64 looks like an N64 game. But Wild Blue Sky's fun for 15 bucks. It is the exact same structure though, where it's like there's, you know, I think 6 or 7 levels. And, you know, if you hit these objectives, maybe it'll unlock like a different pathway. But it plays exactly like Star Fox. It's fun. Like you hold down your like A button and it'll do like the charge shot where it'll take out multiple enemies. Like it is exactly like Star Fox. So if you don't like Star Fox, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you are looking for more Star Fox, or if you don't want to pay $50 for another remake of Star Fox, maybe this one will scratch your itch over there. I also beat Campaign Evolved, the new Halo.
Oh, the newish Halo.
Yeah, so the remake of
the remake. The
original Halo. Yeah, the remake of the remake. It's good. It's Halo. Feels like Halo. Looks like Halo. The new missions aren't great. They added 3 like prequel missions. I don't think that they're particularly good. Like what you're coming to that game, if you're coming to it at all, is to play the old, like to play the original campaign.
Yes.
And the original campaign, hey, guess what? Halo's still good. Like it's still a great first-person shooter campaign. I'm just not sure why they needed to do this, other than they're moving Halo to Unreal.
Well, I mean, part of that, but also part of it, I would imagine, was the original plan of we're gonna introduce this to like PlayStation gamers.
Yeah,
and then that got changed. So it's like, yeah, now it's like it's a remake of a game that was already remade. So yeah, I don't know what it offers.
It's pretty. Like it's very good looking. But that's it. Like, I mean, there's 4-5 other different ways you can play Halo. Like,
yeah.
You don't need
this gen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Master Chief Collection was last gen, but
I mean, like it's playable on the Xbox.
Yeah, yeah, like you can play the original Halo, you can play Anniversary Edition, which was the first remake. Both of those versions are included in Master Chief Collection, and now we have Campaign Evolved. I don't know. I'm done with it though, because there's no multiplayer, and I won't do I beat it on Legendary. I will not be able to beat the Lasso challenge though. So that's a Legendary with all skulls on.
Nope.
No chance. So I'm not even gonna try. And now I'm done with it. So. that's where Halo stands. Anything else. Jeff, you play anything else?
I've played, very little outside of old Fire Emblem and Splatoon.
Right, you're playing GBA Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Through the Switch app. How is GBA Fire Emblem?
If you enjoyed playing the GameCube one, go ahead and play this. It's the core is all there. It has like, I don't know how people feel about the GBA, but for me, like, I had like, at the time, I played only like probably a handful of GBA games when it was out, but I think it's such an awesome system, and that the graphics and the music and everything holds up on it. So playing it now, like, it does not feel that dated. And the core of the gameplay is the same. So it's like, if you love Fire Emblem and you want more, guess what? If you're a Nintendo Switch Online member, you got it. Like,
is there two GBA Fire Emblem?
There's two of them. Yeah, there's one that's just called Fire Emblem.
And then there's the Sacred Stone, which I think is the one you're playing.
I'm playing Sacred Stones, yeah.
Yeah.
And dude, it's awesome. It's amazing. Like, it is. I just am astounded to this day how well, like, I thought highly of the GBA at the time, but now to play those games like 20 years after the fact, and they're still great and they still look good. I think GBA is like super almost underrated, even though, like, I'm sure everyone loves it, but.
GBA had some great Castlevania games too.
They had the great Mario Golf. That I thought the Metroid Zero Mission was great. Like, and they have some of that on the NSO, but not as much as they need. Like, GBA should be supported so much more on NSO.
Was Mario Tennis on the GBA, was that the kind of like RPG-ish one?
I think that was the one on the Game Boy. Just
is that the one? Boy. Okay.
Yeah, I have not played Mario Tennis on GBA, but it's the golf game for sure. I put it in the Hall of Fame. That's how much I thought that's how good I thought that Mario Golf Advance Tour was.
Oh yeah. Mario Tennis Power Tour on the GBA was a kind of like RPG story.
Yeah, those games, like, at least the golf one was so good. Like, again, I put it in Hall of Fame. Like, it's that good. And, like, I just don't get, like, you know, the games that they've put up on these systems are great, but, like, why is there not more? Like, it's just crazy to me.
Yeah, didn't they just put up another, like, a new Switch game? They just put up a Sunshine, right?
Yeah, which, but like, that one,
there should be so many more Game Boy games. Games.
But like, they did the release like 5 years ago of like the 50th anniversary or whatever. Like,
yep.
So it's like, I have a better version of that game if I wanted to play it. That said.
They redid the controls in what was it, 3D All-Stars?
And they made it widescreen. Yeah. But like that said, like, as much as I personally love that game, I think most people don't care. I wish they would do a sequel to that game that just felt right.
To what game?
Sunshine.
I mean, I honestly think the closest sequel they've done or would do is
Bowser's Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how I felt.
And I am still surprised more than anything. Like, Bowser's Fury was never expanded out to something, something meatier than like a 2-hour experience, because that seemed like a really novel approach for like an open world 3D Mario game.
Yeah. Tony, anything else on your end?
Not that I can think of. Wait, no, I finished James Bond. Forgot all about James Bond.
Wow.
Bum, 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 bum.
So I already moved on.
No, it was great. It was fantastic. I loved every minute of it. I wish I could play through it again.
So he says now after forgetting.
You can. You can play through it again.
I'm in hell, Earl. It's hard to remember things in hell.
This is true. Also in hell, they probably wouldn't let you redo things that you like doing. So.
Or they just make you redo them over and over again for all eternity.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's great. I think I love the actor that they put in as Bond. I think he does a great job. I love the quips. The quips are always super well timed. It's great. The game plays like Hitman at times.
Yeah.
Very Hitman. Very like, I'm going to drop you into the middle of this thing and figure out what to do next. And that's the thing I always like about Hitman. Like, go find a conversation to listen to so you can figure out how to sneak past this thing over here. What I haven't done yet is you can replay the levels. I want to do some of that. Because I know, especially in Hitman, like, completely different things would happen if you approached a level differently. And I know, having played through some of the... Like, I know I was getting snippets of other things that were happening that were tangential to the story, like really didn't have anything. Like in the chess match, you can hear like something about cheating. The cheating has nothing to do with the James Bond story. And so if you play through the straight, you don't even touch it. And I know if I go back to that level, I'm going to figure out what's going on there. What's the cheating? Like and that's kind of part of the fun of playing through the Hitman games, is kind of getting that whole new experience in the same level type deal. I'm glad to see that they brought that in.
There's three very big levels, kind of like, so there's the hotel where the chess match is being played. There's I guess there's also there's the fancy dinner thing, it's not a dinner, but like you're in this, it's like a convention.
The party area. The
party. There's a thing in like on an island where you're at a resort, and like those places, you can approach things in different ways. So, like you may have done one way, but there's probably like four or five other ways that you can get to where you need to be, and like get like these other neat little vignettes. Doing them, it's so neat that they were able to incorporate that Hitman DNA into like a more traditional, you know, action adventure game.
See, that's also, I mean, and this is a me thing. It's like I'm kind of, if you, I've not taken to the Hitman World of Assassination.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what worries me. Granted, I've only played, I think, it early on. I've not.
No need to worry, Earl. Like I am bad at the Hitman games. This game, like, it's not like you need to figure it out. Like they're kind of gonna push you in one way, but then if you want to explore more,
you can.
There's one level where you're infiltrating a building and you're getting up level by level. And if you wait, the game tells you what to do. Like it points you off in a particular.
Yeah. You almost always have a partner or somebody in your ear, that, you know, will help you, guide you along the way. Where in Hitman, like there is no, like just figure it the hell out yourself. Like, but you could still create your own fun here by doing certain things and using your gadgets, going in with different loadouts, can also like, cause you would have different gadgets that would allow you to do different things in the level, which would give you access to different areas to either make it easier or reveal a different path. Okay. I think you'll like it.
Again, like what really, I mean, it's what's holding me back is I assume this game would have been on discount by now, but
it hasn't been that long though. It came out in May. Like it's not.
Yeah, this, I mean, again, I'm in that Ubisoft mindset.
It's not Ubisoft, so Ubisoft seems to be the only ones that that approach it that way anymore. I'm still waiting for that Mafia, that new Mafia game to go on sale. Like, it's now $50 permanently, but it has not dropped below like $35.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out, though, Earl.
Yeah, it's that. Yes, and that. What's absolutely. The other one? Did I go Batman game?
Mm-hmm. So I need to play that too. That game looks good.
At this point, I'm just kind of waiting for Target's buy two, get one free sale.
That involves physical games, and we know there aren't physical games anymore.
Right. Sony said they're dead.
Tony does rhyme with Sony, so that would make sense.
Little do you know, I'm a plant. I pre-ordered GTA this week.
Mm-hmm.
On PS5.
Okay. Just so you could play your PS5.
Yeah. there's that. Plus, I'm always wrestling with my son for the Xbox. Mm-hmm. And like when he's at his mother's, he'll play on my Xbox account. So if I'm on PS5, that doesn't happen.
Speaking of PlayStation, what's everybody's vibe on Wolverine?
I mean, I'll play it.
Sure. Yeah, I'm in. I'll be there.
I'm not. I don't know what I'm in, but whatever. Sure.
It's no Spider-Man.
Yeah, I that's where I'm like, I will play it, but I don't think I'll play it right away.
Well, I guess this is the week to do it, but maybe next time. Because September and October this year are insane.
Loaded.
For video game releases. Because when we next meet, what is it? I mean, Wolverine's out. Fire Emblem's out. Possibly Dust Bloods is out next month. I think Persona Remake is. There's a crap ton of games coming out.
Control is in September. Fire Emblem.
Did you do not the physical?
Yeah. The digital version, but yeah.
Yeah. The Orbitals, which I'm looking forward to, is out in September. I think that's like September 4th or something like that. There's a crap ton of games coming out very quickly.
Yeah, because everybody's trying to get it all out before GTA.
Yeah. Which I can say this. I'm just so mad about because like as somebody who's not a GTA hater, but not I don't care for it. Like, oh, I'm just going to have, like, 2 months of this year where there's, like, nothing for me going on.
I mean, I'm like you, yeah, Earl. I don't care, but, like, we're going to get, like, September, October, we're going to get a lot of games. And I think in November, we're getting Ocarina, so.
I think we'll be good. It's just very funny because it's just, like, all of my video game podcasts and stuff, everybody's like, GTA's out, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to spend. Again, I understand it from a business standpoint. I understand it from a hits and everything standpoint, but I'm just like, I don't want to spend 2 months with people talking about GTA and GTA guides. And honestly, all the talk up until the end of the year is about like how GTA is going to take all the oxygen out of the air. And how all these games are getting ahead of GTA. I'm just like, okay.
I've already had people like, normally people in my like my life ask me like, are you going to get GTA? I'm like, yeah. Are you looking forward to it? I'm like, yeah, I guess. You know, like, yeah. And like, it's crazy how much it's like a cultural thing beyond like I honestly don't at this point. And to, like, hear all these people who don't care, like, asking me, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like normal people asking you about the Odyssey. It's like, yeah, I guess, yeah, it's gonna be cool. Like,
Yeah, it's that thing that everybody knows about. So,
but like you as like the person who's like ingrained in it, you're like, yeah, I guess I like this game sort of, but like I'm not like super like I'm not excited about GTA 6. I'm just not.
I just don't. I mean, that's part of the problem, right? Is we got the teaser trailer, we got another trailer, and I guess coming up we're gonna have something on Netflix, like. For 6 hours exclusively. I don't know what the hell it is. Like, I feel that by this time with GTA 5, we knew about Trevor and Michael and I can't remember the other guy's name. But like we knew about the characters. We kind of knew what the vibe, like what do we know about GTA 6.
Yeah, I mean, and mostly what we're getting recently has been the there's been a bunch of leaks this week. Like, I think the big thing people are talking about is that possibly you would have to do you need fuel for your car, like actually. Oh,
that's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to go to a gas station.
Yeah, like you have to stop at gas stations. I don't know. I'm not again. I just don't feel strongly one way or the other about them. Like, I feel like
I do feel strongly about them. You know, it does seem like it's fixing one of my issues, which is that whole tapping A to.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you. Like, that's where I was going to go, Earl. Is where like they do a lot of things that are really great, but like people give them like a pass on things that are just like basic. Like, your game should feel fun to play, and that I have to tap A is not fun to play.
And so, I think they had improved that.
They have.
Yeah.
Over the years, they definitely have. But, like, I mean, still, it's like...
Yeah. I with you guys, there are definitely criticisms you can throw at those games. I do feel that 5... plays way better than 4 did, which played way better than
here's my
trying to get in the base level though with the gameplay. Yeah, like it's maybe like it's okay, good. Why can't you feel like Saints Row? And it's like Saints Row is this garbage franchise. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why can't it just feel good? Like, to play,
I thought 3 San Andreas and stuff felt good because they were going for such arcadey.
They feel better than they do now.
Where like 4 and 5 are trying to be legit, like, and I think that again we'll see what happens with this one, but I feel like they're going too much into the realm of we want to be very like realistic. Like, I think the gas thing where it's like, I get what you're going for, but that just does not seem like a fun game mechanic. That seems like a realistic game mechanic.
Yeah, well, I mean, then that's not something new for them either. Remember in San Andreas, like you had to like make sure, like you had to continue to work out to keep your guy in fit condition. So like, and I think there was also, didn't you have to feed him every once in a while too?
Yeah, I have like just like.
It's a dumb mechanic that they had in there.
It wasn't like well done or anyway, but like
no. Which I hope that, you know, these realism things that they're adding in here are at least done well, because if they're half-assed, that's not going to be great.
Yeah, it's also very funny because people are talking about how good it looks, and I'm like, yeah. When you spend when you get a decade to make a game,
and you could spend like over $1 billion making it. It best look good. Be insane. Like, oh, this game that everyone's been waiting for.
Yeah.
When did 5 come out? Like, was it that was a 360 game?
Yeah.
Yeah, 13 years ago, one of these came out. It would be insane if it didn't look good. Lots of games coming out though. And Jeff, you said that this guy is leaking and he's going to continue to leak.
That's the threat. Physical. We're keep doing GTA leaks unless you promise a physical edition.
So dumb. And Tony, well, you bought it digitally because that's the only way to buy it digitally.
Well, I mean, right? I bought the case that comes with the code inside. Yeah. So, you know.
So you bought a physical version.
You're supporting physical.
There'll be a tangible GTA related object in my possession. Yeah. I won't be able to do anything with it. Yeah.
That's it. You could take a picture and be like, I got it, guys.
I mean, I can't remember the last time I bought a physical game anyway. That wasn't a Switch game.
I was talking to Chris about this. Like, I think mine might have been the Mario collection on Switch, which was like 5 years ago.
I have no physical Switch 2 games.
I have zero Switch 2 physical, yeah. And I am like the numero uno fan, as you guys know. Like, that's all I play is Switch 2. And
what was the last physical game I bought? Like, there's some I get. Like I think the last game I actually bought was probably the Nicktoons game.
Mm.
Because
A physical copy of Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, but only because it was so cheap.
Yeah, that was like the Nicktoons thing was like on Woot for like $20 or something like that. If that and with the special edition, I've not even opened the game. I was like, this just seems like a really good deal.
I mean, $20. Yeah, that's a decent price. You can get Sonic Cross Shadow for $11 on Woot right now.
Yeah, but then you get Sonic Cross Shadow. So I mean, yeah. No, I'm not. That's actually a bad game. It's just really. But yes, and that's the thing. Ultimately, that's what I'm going to miss. Like, that's what I'm waiting for. Like, the James Bond Special Edition has been on sale. But the sale for that game is like $200. Like, okay, yeah. That is still way too much. But I think that also comes with a gun.
Oh. Like a golden gun?
Yeah, I think like a golden gun.
That's something I've noticed. So I have like a couple alerts set up on a couple different sites. And like the standard version isn't what's going on sale. It's like the deluxe version or the super premium ultra edition version.
That used to be a thing. I remember Toys R Us. You would wait a couple of weeks and no, because those sell open in a week and nothing else.
Yeah.
Where like the other ones will sell throughout time, but like the only people buying special editions are diehard fans.
Yeah, that's how I got my Halo 3 helmet. It's like that came with the legendary edition of that, and I got it like 3 weeks later for like $45. Because they were like, "Get rid of this, please, take it away." Anyway, that's what we've been playing. We've all seen, so earlier this year, Mortal Kombat 2 came out. Mortal Kombat 2.
I think it's just Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah, but what was it? Mortal Kombat Annihilation? Was that the original Mortal Kombat 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
So not that one. New Mortal Kombat 2. We've all seen both Mortal Kombat movies. In fact, Tony has recently watched them, and he suggested we rank those for August. One, how do you guys feel about these two new Mortal Kombat movies? The one that came out during COVID, and then Mortal Kombat 2 from this year.
Oh, it's had Tony kick us off.
Oh my gosh! Well, I think if I have to say anything about them, I think they look a lot better in every respect. Like, yeah. The visuals and like everything is super even. Like, the fighting looks good. The special effects look good. The environments look good. Like, it's, I bet the makers of those first couple of movies wish they had the budget and the technology that they have now. Because they just look good in like every respect. Is the acting good now? No.
I mean, was it good originally?
No. It is, but like, it's not as like in the original movies, like they just were looking for people who looked like the character, right? That was like, yeah. And can fight. Like, those were the two high points here. They actually have like actual actors in some of the roles, which amuses me greatly. The guy who's Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 2, who's why his name's escaping my brain right now. He plays a great straight man in that movie. I love it. I like that all this stuff happens around him and he's like, what the fuck is that? What is that? What is that? I don't understand what is happening. I really like the crowning moment is when like they present all this stuff to him and like this tournament's gonna happen. He's just like, all right, well, see ya. I'm out.
Yeah, I don't have any special powers, so
I enjoyed both of these movies. I think the second one is better. There's some weird stuff in the first one.
And it's not the first that first. It's another one where it's like the same name as the original movie.
Yep.
The 2021 version. Yeah. Like, it's weird because it's not really about a tournament. It's not about Mortal Kombat. It's
about Ko. That's his name, right?
Yeah. Yes. He's you're going to be one of these heroes of Earth, of the Earth realm. Cole, struggling MMA fighter.
Yeah, and he is a hero in the first movie. I understand why. I mean, I guess we can talk spoilers here. I was like, oh, I hate how dirty they did him in the sequel. I understand that people didn't like him. But I feel like there's stuff you could have done with the character besides, oh, we got to kill him off because people didn't like him in the first movie. He does get a very gory death. I'll give them that. But I'm like, oh, okay. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, too, because to be fair, the tournament's wonky in general. They make it super weird and convoluted in the second one. Because it's there's like five champions from Earth Realm, five champions from the Outer World.
Yep.
And then they have like the Fielding Candos. But at some point, one of the champions from the Outer Realms turns side. So it's like, oh, the tournament's not over.
Yes.
And it's, I feel like the original, I mean, again, just because of the setup of the tournament and the original movie, the brackets, the whole, what am I trying to say? The whole, you know, like you have an actual tournament and everybody advances versus like it's basically a best of five, but not all your best fighters get to participate constantly is kind of backwards.
Maybe that's a new thing. No, it's a weird, like we're going to call it a tournament, but it's not really a tournament. Like it's very strange. Because it's random. It seems like they randomly choose, like, all right, well, you're going to compete now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the second movie is just way more fun, though.
Yes.
I like both. I just think the second movie is way more fun.
It's fascinating because I agree with you. But having a conversation with some of my friends where people do prefer the first movie because, and to be fair, I think the first movie has a plot and a character arc, and it has like the sub plots with like with Scorpion and Sub-Zero and their family and lineage, where this one is pretty much the tournament and Johnny Cage. Like, I think Scorpion's in this movie because Scorpion's popular and not because he adds anything to the movie.
Yeah, Scorpion was kind of like his story's tied up in the original one. Like, we don't need more of it, but also it's Mortal Kombat, so you need Scorpion. And
right, Scorpion and Sub-Zero are like the iconic characters. Yeah. Like, if they're not in there, is it a Mortal Kombat movie? Really?
Yeah. Both of these are available on HBO.
Yeah,
I believe so. That you can go watch them. Where would you guys rank these? In terms of what we have seen,
where did we rank the original Mortal Kombat?
That, I was gonna ask the same question because I feel like that, like, I don't think they're as fun as the original either one.
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, I think the first one is a better movie, but not just not as fun.
Okay, so we have jointly we named 1995 Mortal Kombat as an A tier game, A tier movie. Earl, you have it as S,
which makes sense. Fantastic.
And Tony, you have it as an A. Jeff has it as a C, and I have it as a B.
I kind of want to put both of them as Bs for different reasons.
But you want to put both of them at B? Okay.
Yeah. Because, again, I think the first one's a better kind of a cohesive movie and trying to be something. Mm. But I think the second one gets, like, we're here to see a bunch of people fight and use special moves. And we don't have anything to do with the stupid, I hated the tattoos so much. Or sort of mark of the champion.
It's so dumb.
God. It doesn't even make sense that, like, okay, you marked as a champion, if somebody beats you, they get that. What if you died to cancer? Does cancer get the mark of the dragon?
Maybe. Cancer, I don't know.
Defend the Earth in the 10th Mortal Kombat tournament.
So B for both for you, Earl?
Yeah.
Okay. Tony, where would you put Mortal Kombat 2 and Mortal Kombat?
I think Mortal Kombat, I would agree with Earl that it's a B. I like the second movie, though. I think I'll give it an A.
All right.
I enjoyed it.
I don't have anything in A tier on me, and I can't put either one of these there. So. I think they're like, Mortal Kombat 2 is like approaching it, I think. I'm going to put them both in B for me. And Jeff has dropped. So
Jeff's like, oh, they're talking about Mortal Kombat.
He's like, just my opinion.
He's seen both movies. So, where should we put B here for our joint?
Well, it sounds like one definitely in B. Because I think
B is definitely the.
Unless
Jeff wants to come back, he's like, I think these are D tier.
I mean, we can put Mortal Kombat 2 2026 in A tier again. It's right there next to Mortal Kombat. Doesn't mean it's better than Mortal Kombat or that, you know, the other Mortal Kombat isn't better than Mortal Kombat 2, but just that it's in that same joint area. To note, we also have Street Fighter, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, Resident Evil, Doom, and DOA Dead or Alive in B tier.
Oh God, it's better than all those movies.
I kind of agree. Earl, are you okay with us dropping it as an A tier?
Which one is this? This is the second one?
Two, yeah.
First, okay, so what's an A tier?
An A tier for us total, just yeah. Mortal Kombat. Just 1995's Mortal Kombat.
Wow, folks need to know your standards because this is not going to get much better for a long time. I mean, maybe that's, I'm fine with that. Like, yeah, after the original, though.
Yeah, we've already put the original in there, right?
So no, but I don't know. I meant more like, I don't know if you're doing it the same way. In my head, like, even if you're A tier, I'm still thinking like, okay, like this high A, this low A, this high, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, and I think I would agree. I think the original Mortal Kombat is, it's a better movie than Mortal Kombat 2, but they're both highly entertaining movies.
And they're both better than all those other movies you just listed.
Yeah. Yeah, Street Fighter, Tomb Raider, Resident Evil, Doom, and DOA, Dead or Alive are our B-tier movies. And now Mortal Kombat 2021. All entertaining, just they have deficiencies, for sure. Earl, what are we watching in September?
We're going back to Raccoon City. I actually don't even know if this is actually in Raccoon City. But we're going to check out Resident Evil Extinction.
I don't think it's in Raccoon City,
actually. I don't think so. See, I don't think 3 and 4 are in Raccoon City. I can't remember if this is the one that takes place in like the abandoned town. Because I think this is the desert one that introduces Chris.
Yep.
And then I think the next one's in the boat in the fake city. We'll find out.
Claire is definitely in.
Yes, because that is Ali Larder.
Ali Larder, yeah.
Yes. And I think she's the only other person who's kind of reoccurring after this. Okay, and then Tyrant's in here and Carlos is here. Okay, and Albert Wesker. So, okay, I think Chris is in the next one. So this isn't the one with Chris yet. But yes, this is from... Oh man, I get them so confused. So this is from 2007, and we'll rewatch it and figure it out. Because there is two or three, and I want to say, I think this is one of them, where it's very clear that they were done after the, like, 4 and 5 became really popular. So it's like, we have to have a guy with a chainsaw, and then we have to have the guy with the giant sledgehammer. And it's like, oh, we're trying to tie it into the game now after we went the completely different way to begin with. So, but yes, this is Resident Evil Extinction from 2007.
All right. We'll be back with that in September. But next time out, I think I will have, what is it, Zero Company, Star Wars Zero Company. I think I'll be able to talk about that next time.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, Star Wars XCOM. It should be a good time. Earl, just to let you know, Jill does recur.
Does she?
In these movies, she is in Afterlife and she is in Retribution.
Is it a different actress?
Nope, same actress. I had to look it up. But
I did not remember. I've seen them all multiple times, and there are things that stick to me, mostly like the endings and like ludicrous scenes. But like, for some odd reason, I do not like, I know. Like, I know Michelle Rodriguez's character comes back, and I know that like they introduce like Chris and Kier, and Joe's been introduced already and stuff like that. And yep. I know Chris is, I think, in one movie. Because it's Wentworth Miller.
Yes.
And then he's gone, which is even weirder because he is, I think part four, which is when he's in, ends in a climax with him, Cher, and Alice on a ship against Wesker. And then the next one starts it, and Chris is just gone.
It's great. Can't wait to re-explore that. They do introduce Leon and Ada Wong at some point too.
I honestly do not remember these movies.
Yeah, neither do I. I was like,
they're not real. They're all fake.
Next time out, Resident Evil Extinction. We'll see. Not next time out, but in September. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Earl, say goodnight.
Good night.